Okay, everybody, Hare Krishna. So we're going to start chanting Jai Radha Madhava. Got to get the guitar. Radha Madhava Jaya Kunjavi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjavi Gopichana Balabha Jaya Girivadarari Gopichana Balava Jaya Kiribarare Kiribarare Yasoda Nandana Vrachajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vrachajana Ranjana Munatira Banachari Naya Kunjaviyari Naya Kunjaviyari Munatira Banachari Naya Kunjaviyari Kunjaviyari Vichana Balamba Jaya Girivarade Girivarade Yasoda Nandana Jana Rana Yasoda Nandana Jana Rana Yamunatira Banachari Naya Kunjaviyari Kunjaviyari Yamunatira Chari Naya Kunjaviyari Kunjaviyari Anamadava Jaya Kunjaviyari Anamadava Kunjaviyari Jai Om Paramahamsa, 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 ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijaya Nandakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Kijaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijaya Param Say Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidvaita Gadadha Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Kijaya Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopinath Shaya Mukunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan ki jai, Vrindavanam ki jai, Mathuradam ki jai, Jagannath Swami ki jai, Yamunamari ki jai, Srimati Lasudevi ki jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees. All glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Gaur Premananda. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamit Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pachari Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarane. Okay, so Om Ganati Midandasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chaksur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I offer my obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So, I think before we go, where is that? Hold on a second. All right. Okay. Before we go, I wanted to show you something that one of my dear disciples is working on for an intro for my shorter videos, just to give you a taste of some of the stuff that we're going to be putting on the internet. This is not a finished product. It is basically just a test video, and I am going to just show it to you really briefly. Let's see. Hold on a second. Okay. Hopefully it will show up well when I share it, but you never know because this computer is a little slow. Just one second. One tiny little second and I will share it. One and a two and a three. Give me a second. All right. Share a sound, optimize for video clip. Hey, there you go. This is not an intro for the videos that we're doing, like the evening classes. This is just a sample of the types of intros we're going to be doing for my short 3-minute uploads that are going to go viral, hopefully. So here you're going to see a brief overview. Let me start from the beginning. All right. And a one, and a two, and a three. Oops, let me turn up the volume so you get it. Here we go. All right. Bande Krishna Nanda Kumara.
The monkeys are enjoying themselves here. Kumara Rumo Anarupa Kanna Kumara Rumo Anarupa Mohana Rupa Madanava.
Okay. Was a little fun video. Hopefully everyone was able to see it. But there's going to be all sorts of like really fun, quick moving videos that are going to be posted like that are intros to very quick moving topical statements that I'm going to be making are Krishna conscious statements. Hopefully some of them are going to be semi-Krishna conscious statements that I'll be making about different subject matters. Quick moving, fast moving, hard punching videos. Okay, but we're just getting together a whole team. A team. So, okay, on that happy note, we're going to go, where are we going to go? Oh, Chaitanya Charitamrita. Forgot about it. So, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra, Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. So again, welcome to the Sunday feast, and actually, there's only a few of us that are from New Goloka. Anyway, this is the virtual Sunday feast. Some people are in the temple watching this, but I'm not going out of precaution. I did get my vaccine about 2 days ago. And in about 6 weeks, I will be hopefully more or less immune by Krishna's grace. And then we'll be able to hit the road. Okay, so now we're going to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And we'll share the screen. Hold on a second. Beginning with text 11 of the 7th chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The 7th chapter is dealing with the Pancha Tattva, the 5 features. Okay, we'll try to make this as interesting as possible. We were mentioning yesterday to some devotees that this first section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita is basically very, very philosophical. I'll try to intersperse it with stories just to keep everybody's interest up. And of course, a lot of the philosophy here is repetitive. Now, why is repetition there? Repetition is there so we understand the basic tattvas, basically the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. I mean, how many times have we heard, you're not the body, you're not the body. What am I? I don't know. I'm Brahman, and I'm going to merge into the Brahma Jyoti. So you're not the body. All right. You're a spirit soul. You're part and parcel of Krishna. So it's interesting because we have devotees of various levels of understanding watching this or listening to this. And sometimes people come to our Sunday feast or come to our morning class, and they hear very elevated subject matters. And they think, oh my God, are they speaking English here? So that causes some confusion. So we try to present the Chaitanya Charitamrita so that everybody of different levels can really appreciate what's happening. So there's the 5 features, you know, the Pancha Tattva, Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Dvaitacharya, Srivas, and Gadadhar. Okay, got it. So, Krishna Madhuryera Hikahad Bhuta Swabhava Apana Svadite Krishna Kare Bhakta Bhava. The transcendental mellow of conjugal love of Krishna is so wonderful that Krishna himself accepts the form of a devotee to relish and taste it fully. You've heard this before. Although Krishna is the reservoir of all pleasure, he has a special intention to taste himself by accepting the form of a devotee. It is to be concluded that although Lord Chaitanya is present in the form of a devotee, he is Krishna himself. Therefore, Vaishnavas sing, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nayanya. Radha and Krishna combined together are Shri Krishna Chaitanya. And as Shri Surup Damodar Goswami has said, Chaitanyakyam Prakatam Adunad Tadvayam Chaikyam Aptam. Radha and Krishna assume oneness in the form of Chaitanya, Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ite bhakta bhava dari chaitanya goshai bhakta surupa tanra nichananda pai. For this reason, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the supreme teacher, accepts the form of a devotee and accepts Lord Nityananda as his elder brother. Bhakta Avatara Tanva Acharya Gosai, Etina Tattva Sabe Prabhu Kari Gai. Sri Advaita Acharya is Lord Chaitanya's incarnation as a devotee. Therefore, these three tattvas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Gosai, are the predominators or masters. That means that they are three of them, Vishnu Tattva, or they're actually the same person. Three in one. Goswami means Goswami. A person who has full control over the senses and mind is called Goswami or Goswami. One who does not have control, such control, is called a Godasa, or a servant of the senses, and cannot become a spiritual master. A spiritual master who actually has control over the mind and senses is called Goswami. Although the Goswami title has become a hereditary designation from scrupulous men, actually the title Goswami or Goswami began from Srila Rupa Goswami, who presented himself as an ordinary grahasta and minister in government service, but became a Goswami when he was actually elevated by the instruction of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, Goswami is not a hereditary title, but refers to one's qualifications when one is highly elevated in spiritual advancement, regardless of where from he comes. He may be called Goswami. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and Sri Dvaita Goswami Prabhu are natural Goswamis because they belong to the Vishnu Tattva category. As such, all of them are Prabhu's predominators or masters, and they are sometimes called Chaitanya Goswami, Nityananda Goswami, and Advaita Goswami. Unfortunately, their so-called descendants, who did not have the qualifications of Goswamis, have accepted this title as a hereditary designation or a professional degree. That is not in accord with the Shastric injunctions. Interestingly enough, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not take the title Chaitanya Goswami until he took sannyas. Nityananda Prabhu, Nityananda Goswami, never took sannyas. In fact, he was married. He had two wives, Janava and Vasudeva, and two children. And still he's called Goswami. And Advaita Acharya was always married. Oh my God. And he had six sons. Three of them he rejected because they were asara, useless. And three of them were Sara, or useless, or useful, sorry. So why were they called Goswami or Goswami? Because they are controllers of the senses. They are Vishnu Tattva. They control everything. So go can also mean cows too, but someone who has a lot of cows is not called a Goswami, a controller of cows. So anyway, someone who can control the senses is called Goswami. Now, traditionally, the title Goswami is reserved for people in the renounced order of life. Although in the case of Nityananda Goswami and Advaita Goswami, they are called Goswami because they're the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But you don't have like Narottama Das Thakur called Narottama Goswami, or Bhaktivinoda Thakur called Goswami, but in essence, they were Goswamis because they were controlling the senses. Now, the interesting thing is, when Prabhupada gave sannyas to people, usually those who were single before, he gave them the designation Swami. And those who were married before, he gave them the designation or the last name Goswami. So that's interesting. An interesting piece of history for you. Eka Mahaprabhu Adha Prabhu Dwi Jana Dwi Prabhu Seve Mahaprabhu Racharana. One of them is Mahaprabhu and the other two are Prabhus. That means masters. These two Prabhus serve the lotus feet of Mahaprabhu. So Prabhu means master. That's why devotees call each other Prabhu. And when devotees are referring to a lady, they should use the term Prabhi. That's feminine for Prabhu. But when you're referring to People in general use Prabhu. You understand? Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Nityananda Prabhu, and Sri Advaita Prabhu all belong to the same Vishnu category, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is nevertheless accepted as the supreme, and the other two Prabhus engage in its transcendental loving service to teach ordinary living entities that every one of us is subordinate to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In another place, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Adi Lila, 5th chapter, text 142, it is said, A Kaleshvara Krishna Ara Sabha Avritcha. The only supreme master is Krishna, and all others, both Vishnu Tava and Jiva Tava, engaged in the service of the Lord. Both the Vishnu Tava as Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita, and the Jiva Tava, Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavananda, engaged in the service of the Lord, but one must distinguish between the Vishnu Tava servitors and the Jiva Tava servitors. The Jiva Tava servitor, the spiritual master, is actually the servitor God, as explained in previous verses. In the absolute world, there are no such differences, yet one must observe these differences in order to distinguish the supreme from his subordinates. So in other words, yes, in the absolute world, there's no differences, but there are differences called the philosophy of one and different simultaneously. It's not that when we go back to the absolute world, we become non-different in every sense from Vishnu Tattva. We still remain Jiva Tattva. You do not become God. Believe me, I just want to serve God. I don't want to become God. I'm not ready to take up the responsibility of becoming God. It's bad enough I got to manage things now without having to manage things like God manages. 18 up, tatva, sarva radya karimani, chaturtaye bhakta tatva, aradhika jani. The three predominators, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Prabhu, are worshipable by all living entities, and the fourth principle, Sri Gadadha Prabhu, is understood to be their worshipper. So Gadadha is Srimati Radharani in the Panchatattva. That's interesting. Now, even though he is the appearance of Srimati Radharani, he's in a slightly different mood than Srimati Radharani. Radharani is in the left-handed mood. She's like unsubmissive, gets angry like that. And that's because she's giving pleasure. Her unsubmissiveness is her submissiveness. That is, she becomes unsubmissive or acts unsubmissive in order to give pleasure to Krishna. She gets angry with Krishna in order to give pleasure to Krishna. Krishna enjoys it. Sometimes he would tease her. And even he would tease some of his wives to get her them angry. And of course, Radharani appears as Satyabhama, and Krishna really enjoys when she gets angry, and he teases her like anything. One time in Dwarka, Krishna teased Satyabhama, saying to her that actually, I don't love you. And the only reason I got married to you because is you remind me of my girlfriends in Vrindavan. She was really upset. Krishna enjoyed that. Krishna enjoys all these different emotions. Yesterday we were talking about how some people can't appreciate how Krishna enjoys like fighting and all the stuff that, you know, appears to us to be, wow, it's a little bit too tough. It's like a football game on steroids. And so, but Krishna has all the different moods that any of us have and more. Because how would we have all those moods or all those desires? It's like we find people like to go to football games or like to see fights or like to have rebellions. Because like recently there was a rebellion in America. So the people were in a certain mood. So don't think that that mood doesn't exist in Krishna. Of course, Krishna's not going to rebel against the American government. At least not now. So, but these moods are there. And they, you know, you have to understand, whatever we have, ahamsa rasa prabhava matak sarvam pravartate, everything comes from Krishna. Like Prabhupada said, if you're going to say that God is lusty, he's unlimitedly lusty. If God is self-centered, he's unlimitedly self-centered. He has all these moods to an unlimited degree. If he's humorous, he's unlimitedly humorous. If he wants to tease someone, he's unlimitedly teasing. Yeah, Krishna enjoys all these different things. I mean, we have our limitations. Like, you know, I'm not unlimitedly humorous. And certainly, I don't like fighting. Not at all. I don't like fighting. But that doesn't mean I should criticize God because he likes it. He's God. Everything that you see, or emotions or feelings you see in different people in this world, they're in God. Even intoxication. They're storied, like Lord Balaram, of course, getting intoxicated from the Varuni beverage and harassing the Yamuna River. And then Krishna and the gopis getting intoxicated. Oh my God, on wine, honey wine. And they were so intoxicated that when they poured the whatever substance into the cup, they had the wrong side of the cup up. And it went all over. So whatever is here, you know, the moods that are there, I wouldn't say whatever. You know, there's nonsense here. There's forgetfulness of Krishna here. That is meat-eating here, which is not there in the spiritual world. Whatever moods are there, whatever rasas are there, and there are different rasas. There's ghastliness. There's fear. There's chivalry. They're all there to the in an unlimited degree in Krishna. So try to understand that. So Krishna does all these things. I don't, let's say, emulate or have the same mood as Krishna when he does all these things, but I can understand all these things, that they're Krishna. All these different moods, they're in Krishna, sorry. They're in Krishna. Otherwise he wouldn't be God. How does anything exist unless it comes from him? He's the source of everything. He's the cause of all causes. If something or someone is the cause of all causes, all the emanations that are caused by the cause of all causes must come, you know, the properties of those emanations must actually come from the cause of all causes. And the emanations can't have more qualities than the emanator. That's a really important point. So in his Anubhasha, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, describing the truth about the Panchatattva, explains that we should understand that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme predominator. He's the dominator. And that Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu are his subordinates, but are also predominators. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the supreme Lord, and Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu are manifestations of the supreme Lord. All of them are Vishnu Tattva, the Supreme, and are therefore worshipable by the living entities. Although the other two tattvas within the category of Panchatattva, namely Shakti Tattva and Jiva Tattva, Shakti Tattva is like Srimati Radharani, the Adi Shakti. Jiva Tattva is like good old you and me too. Represented by Gadadhar and Srivas, are worshippers of the Supreme Lord, and they are in the same category because they are eternally engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So, Shivasari yata koti koti bhakta gana shuddha bhakta tattva madhye tansavara ganana. There are innumerable pure devotees of the Lord headed by Srivas Thakur who are known as unalloyed devotees. That means with no other desire. Gadadhara panditari prabhura shakti avatara Antaranga Bhaktakari Ganana Kyanhara. The devotees headed by Gadadhar Pandit are to be considered incarnations of the internal potency of the Lord. They are confidential devotees engaged in the service of the Lord. So, internal potency. Shakti. We are not of that category. At least I'm not. Oh, Krishna. In connection with verses 16 and 17, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explains in his Anubhasha, that's his commentary, there are specific symptoms by which the internal devotees and the unalloyed or pure devotees are to be known. All unalloyed devotees are Shakti Tattvas or potencies of the Lord. So let me explain that. That doesn't mean that, let's say, if one day, God forbid, I became an unalloyed devotee, that would not mean that my ontological position is Shakti Tattva. However, I would be like an empowered by the Shaktis. Okay? So therefore, it's like a Shaktavesh avatar. So in one sense, not me, I didn't want to say anything about me, but let's say someone becomes a pure devotee, they would act as a representative or empowered by the Shaktis, that Shaktavesh, in the same way a Shaktavesh avatar is empowered by the Lord. So we have to really unpack this to understand. It's not that if you become a pure devotee, you're going to become ontologically Shakti Tattva, but you're going to act like Shakti Tattva because you're empowered by Shakti Tattva. Got it? Some of them are situated in conjugal love and others in filial affection, fraternity and servitude. Filial means parental. Fraternity and servitude. Fraternity is friendship. Certainly all of them are devotees, but by making a comparative study, it is found that devotees or potencies who are engaged in conjugal love are better situated than the others. The devotees who are in a relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and conjugal love are considered to be the most confidential devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those who engage in the service of Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Advaita Prabhu generally have relationships of parental love, fraternity, servitude, and neutrality. When such devotees develop great attachment for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they too become situated within the intimate circle of devotees in conjugal love. The gradual development of devotional service is described by Narottama, Sri Narottama Das Thakur as follows. Wow, one of my favorite songs. Guranga balite habi bulaga shivir hari hari balite nayani babi nir al kavi nita chandra tanda kuruna hoibe samsara vashana mora kabe tu chahabe fishya chidiya kabe shuda habi mana kabe hama hai rabo shri brindavana rupa raganatha pade haibiyakuti Kabi Hama Pujaba Shri Yugala Piriti. When will there be eruptions on my body as soon as I chant the name of Lord Chaitanya? And when will there be incessant torrents of tears as soon as I chant the holy names? Hare Krishna. When will Lord Nityananda be merciful toward me and free me from all desires for material enjoyment? When will my mind be completely freed from all contamination of desires for material pleasure? Only at that time will it be possible for me to understand Vrindavan. Only if I become attached to the instructions given by the six Goswamis, headed by Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Das Goswami, will it be possible for me to understand the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. By attachment to the devotional service of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one immediately comes to the ecstatic platform. Position. When he develops his love for Nityananda Prabhu, he is freed from all attachment to the material world, and at that time he becomes eligible to understand the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavana. In that condition, when one develops his love for the six Goswamis, he can understand the conjugal love between Radha and Krishna. These are the different stages of a pure devotee's promotion to conjugal love in the service of Radha and Krishna in an intimate relationship with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so we're going to let someone else read. Let's see who's on the hit parade. Okay. Champaka, you can unmute now and you can read.
Thank you, Gurudev.
Okay.
Yan sabalana prabhura nitya vihara, yan sabalana prabhura kirtana prachara, yan sabalana karena prema ashwadhana, Yan sabalana dhana kare prema dhana. The internal devotees, or potencies, are all eternal associates in the pastimes of the Lord. Only with them does the Lord advent to propound the Sankirtan movement. Only with them does the Lord taste the mellow of conjugal love. And only with them does he distribute this love of God to people in general. Purport. Distinguishing between pure devotees and internal or confidential devotees, Sri Rupa Goswami in his book Upadeshamrita traces the following gradual process of development. Out of many thousands of karmis, one is better when he is situated in perfect Vedic knowledge. Out of many such learned scholars and philosophers, one who is actually liberated from material bondage is better. And out of many such people who are actually liberated, one who is a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is considered to be the best. Among the many such transcendental lovers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the gopis are the best. And among the gopis, Srimati Radhika is the best. Srimati Radhika is very dear to Lord Krishna, and similarly, her pawns, namely Shyamakund and Radhakund, are also very dear to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments in his Anubhashya that among the five tattvas, who are energies, two are energies, Shakti tattva, and the three others are energetic, Shaktiman tattva. Unalloyed and internal devotees are both engaged in the favorable culture of Krishna consciousness, untinged by philosophical speculation or fruitive activities. They are all understood to be pure devotees. And those among them who simply engage in conjugal love are called Madhurya Bhaktas, or internal devotees. The loving services in parental love, fraternity, and servitude are included in conjugal love of God. In conclusion, therefore, every confidential devotee is a pure devotee of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoys his pastimes with his immediate expansion, Nityananda Prabhu. His pure devotees and his three Purusha incarnations, namely Karuna Dakashayi Vishnu, Garbo Dakashayi Vishnu, and Kshiro Dakashayi Vishnu, always accompany the Supreme Lord to propound the Sankirtan movement. Sei pancha tattva mili prithivi asya purva prema bandarera mudra ugadiya panche mili lute prema kare asvadana yatta yatta piye trishna badhe anukshana. The characteristics of Krishna are understood to be a storehouse of transcendental love. Although that storehouse of love certainly came with Krishna when he was present, it was sealed. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with his associates of the Panchatattva, they broke the seal and plundered the storehouse to taste transcendental love of Krishna. The more they tasted it, the more their thirst for it grew. Purport. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is called Mahavadanyavatara, because although he is Sri Krishna himself, he is even more favorably disposed to the poor fallen souls than Lord Sri Krishna. When Lord Sri Krishna himself was personally present, he demanded that everyone surrender unto him and promised that he would then give one all protection. But when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this earth with his associates, he simply distributed transcendental love of God without discrimination. Sri Rupa Goswami, therefore, could understand that Lord Chaitanya was none other than Sri Krishna himself, for no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead can distribute confidential love of the Supreme Person. Punah punah piyaya haya maha mata Nache kande hase gaya yaiche madamatha. Sri Panchatattva themselves danced again and again, and thus made it easier to drink nectarian love of Godhead. They danced, cried, laughed, and chanted like madmen, and in this way they distributed love of Godhead. Purport. People generally cannot understand the actual meaning of chanting and dancing. Describing the Goswamis, Sri Srinivas Acharya stated, Krishnotkirtana Gana Nartana Paro. Not only did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates demonstrate this chanting and dancing, but the six Goswamis also followed in the next generation. The present Krishna consciousness movement follows the same principle, and therefore simply by chanting and dancing, we have received good responses all over the world. It is to be understood, however, that this chanting and dancing do not belong to this material world. They are actually transcendental activities, for the more one engages in chanting and dancing, the more he can taste the nectar of transcendental love of Godhead. Patra patra vichara nahi nahi stana stana, yeyana payatana kare prema dana. In distributing love of Godhead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did not consider who was a fit candidate and who was not, nor where such distribution should or should not take place. They made no conditions. Wherever they got the opportunity, the members of the Panchatattva distributed love of Godhead. Purport. There are some rascals who dare to speak against the mission of Lord Chaitanya by criticizing the Krishna consciousness movement for accepting Europeans and Americans as brahmanas and offering them sannyas. But here is an authoritative statement that in distributing love of Godhead, one should not consider whether the recipients are Europeans, Americans, Hindus, Muslims, etc. The Krishna consciousness movement should be spread wherever possible, and one should accept those who thus become Vaishnavas as being greater than Brahmanas, Hindus, or Indians. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired that his name be spread in each and every town and village on the surface of the globe. Therefore, when the cult of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is spread all over the world, should those who embrace it not be accepted as Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, and Sannyasis? These foolish arguments are sometimes raised by envious rascals. But Krishna-conscious devotees do not care about them. We strictly follow the principles set down by the Panchatattva. Lutia khaya diya bandara ujade, ascharya bandara prema shataguna bade. Although the members of the Panchatattva plundered the storehouse of love of Godhead and ate and distributed its contents, there was no scarcity, for this wonderful storehouse is so complete that as the love is distributed, the supply increases hundreds of times. Purport. A pseudo-incarnation of Krishna once told his disciple that he had emptied himself by giving him all knowledge, and thus was spiritually bankrupt. Such bluffers speak in this way to cheat the public, but actual spiritual consciousness is so perfect that the more it is distributed, the more it increases. Bankruptcy is a term that applies in the material world, but the storehouse of love of Godhead in the spiritual world can never be depleted. Krishna is providing for millions and trillions of living entities by supplying all their necessities. And even if all the innumerable living entities wanted to become Krishna conscious, there would be no scarcity of love of Godhead, nor would there be insufficiency in providing for their maintenance. Our Krishna consciousness movement was started single-handedly and no one provided for our livelihood. But at present, we are spending hundreds and thousands of dollars all over the world and the movement is increasing more and more. Thus, there is no question of scarcity. Although jealous persons may be envious, if we stick to our principles and follow in the footsteps of the Panchatattva, this movement will go on unchecked by imitation swamis, sannyasis, religionists, philosophers, or scientists. For it is transcendental to all material considerations. Therefore, those who propagate the Krishna consciousness movement should not be afraid of such rascals and fools.
Okay, you can end there. Very nice reading. So we'll let Divya Nitya Leela, so she's the next to ask. Okay, you can continue.
Thank you, Gurudev. This is black screen again.
Wait for a second, it'll disappear.
Sure.
Okay. Can you see it now?
Yeah. Ochaila prema bonno chodike vedaya stri briddho balaka juva shavar dubaya. Dubai. Translation.
Is it delay? That's why it takes so long. Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
You can see it?
Not yet. I don't know.
Oh my God.
Okay. Yeah, good. Now it's okay. The flood of love of Godhead swelled in all directions, and thus young men, old men, women, and children were all immersed in that inundation. Purport. When the contents of the storehouse of the love of Godhead is thus distributed, there is a powerful inundation that covers the entire land. In Shuddha Mayapur, there is sometimes a great flood after the rainy seasons. This is an indication that from the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, the inundation of love of Godhead should be spread all over the world. For this will help everyone, including all old men, young men, women, and children. The Krishna consciousness movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so powerful that it can inundate the entire world and interests all classes of men in the subject of love of Godhead. Shad jana durjana pangu jara andhagana prema banaye dubailo jagater jana. The Krishna consciousness movement will inundate the entire world and drown everyone, whether one be a gentleman, a rogue, or even lame, invalid, or blind. Here again, it may be emphasized that although jealous rascals protest that Europeans and Americans cannot be given the sacred trade or sannyas, there is no need even to consider whether one is a gentleman or a rogue. Gurudev, can you go a little? Yeah, thank you. Because this is a spiritual movement which is not concerned with the external body of skin and bones. Because it is being properly conducted under the guidance of Panchatattva, strictly following the regulative principles, it has nothing to do with external impediments. Jagat dubaila dubila jiber hoila bijanash taha dekhi panchajaner paramo ullash. When the five members of the Panchatattva saw the entire world drowned in love of Godhead and the seed of material enjoyment in living entities completely destroyed, they all became exceedingly happy. Purport. In this connection, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya that since the living entity all belong to the marginal potency of the Lord, each and every living entity has a natural tendency to become Krishna conscious, although at the same time the seed of material enjoyment is undoubtedly within him. The seed of material enjoyment, watered by the course of material nature, fructifies to become a tree of material entanglement that endows the living entity with all kinds of material enjoyment. To enjoy such material facilities is to be afflicted with the three material miseries. However, when by nature's law there is a flood, the seeds within the earth become inactive. Similarly, all the inundation of love of Godhead spread all over the world. the seeds of the material enjoyment becomes important. Thus, the more the Krishna consciousness movement spread, the more the desire for material enjoyment decreases. The seed of material enjoyment automatically becomes intolerant with important with the increase of the Krishna consciousness movement. Instead of being envious that Krishna consciousness is spreading all over the world by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, those who are jealous should be happy, as indicated here by the words Parama Ullash. But because they are Kanishta Adhikaris or Prakrita Bhaktas, materialistic devotees who are not advanced in spiritual knowledge, they are envious instead of happy, and they try to find faults in Krishna consciousness movement. Yet, Srimad Prabhudananda Saraswati writes in his Chaitanya Chandramrita that when influenced by Lord Chaitanya's Krishna consciousness movement, materialists become averse to talking about their wives and children. Supposedly learned scholars give up their tedious studies of Vedic literatures. Yogis give up their impractical practices of mystic yoga. Ascetics give up their austere activities of penances and austerities. And sannyasis give up their study of Sankhya philosophy. They are all attracted by the bhakti yoga process of Lord Chaitanya and cannot relish the mellow. Something is blocking this place.
Really?
Give me a second, Gurudev. Just...
It's not really blocking.
Yeah, maybe I'm just the finger. Yeah. Okay. Because it is being properly Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur wrote in the Chaitanya Chandramrita, then when influenced
by... No, you went back. Thus they are all attracted by the bhakti yoga practices
of Lord Chaitanya and cannot relish the mellow superior to that of Krishna consciousness.
Okay, you can end here. That's very good. So anyway, let's end. So it's quite interesting. Prabhupada says here that materialists become averse to talking about their wives and children. So in other words, learned scholars give up their tedious study because they're having such a good time enjoying themselves in Krishna consciousness that everything else becomes tasteless in comparison. That is the proof of advancement in Krishna consciousness. What is the proof? The proof is Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Chaya Adahoitukam. What does that mean? That means that one makes advancement in devotional service. The proof is causeless detachment and knowledge arises in one's heart. So who has a question? You're allowed to unmute yourselves.
I have a question, Gurudev.
Yeah. Champaka.
You had mentioned in the beginning that Advaita Acharya had rejected some of his sons. And then later we were reading about how the Panchatattva distribute love of God indiscriminately. So I was wondering, on what basis does someone get discriminated against or rejected?
Because they're born in America. No, not really. One gets discriminated against because they don't get discriminated against, but they don't accept. Sometimes the example is given about the rain. The rain falls indiscriminately on all different substances. But if the rain falls on concrete, then the rain doesn't have too much effect. I mean, it gradually can wear down the concrete. But actually, it doesn't. It's not the same effect as if it falls on the grass. So, yes, the distribution of love of God is distributed regardless of who one is, where one is. But people just don't necessarily have to accept it. There's still free will. So Advaita Acharya's sons, three sons, they did not accept it. And therefore, Advaita Acharya did not even consider them to be his sons. That's how heavy it was. He would say, "These are not my sons." because the son of a Dvaitacharya would have to be a devotee of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Like you find Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami rejected his brother for the same reason. Now, I don't think we should act in such a heavy way. I mean, my mother doesn't happen to be a devotee, so it's not that I say that she's not my mother. But actually, my real mother is the Vedic literatures, and of course, Gayatri Mantra is mother too. And the father is Prabhupada. Prabhupada is my eternal father. Now, yes, my body, you know, you really have to divide yourself. My body had a mother, my body had a father. My body has a father, didn't have it. Has a father, or he was around. And that was another body that gave birth to my body. But in essence, my mother are the Vedic literatures and the Gayatri Mantra. And my father is his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. And of course, Krishna is Aham Bija Pradapita. Krishna is our father. Krishna is our father. And but I don't think of him like my father. I mean, I don't think you, Champaka, think of Krishna like your father, do you?
No.
No, I mean, it's hard. But, I mean, after you've been in the movement for a while, I don't think Krishna is related to as your father, Father Krishna. Although he is the seed-giving father, Aham Bija Pradapita, of everyone, I don't think that most devotees relate to him like that. At least devotees who are going back to Goloka Vrindavan. Now, let me see if he's here. Hold on a second. Is Rishikesh there? No. No, so I can't make a joke.
Hare Krishna Gurudev, I'm here. Sorry.
Oh, you're here. So like Rishikesh, he relates to Krishna as his father because he's like Kuntavasi. But the rest of us relate to Krishna. I mean, I can't think of Krishna as my father. I'm sorry. I can actually think of Vishnu as my father. But I can't think of Krishna as my father. And frankly, I don't think of Radharani as my mother. But I can think of Durga as my mother. So it's just like, anyway, there's certain rasas. I think of Radharani as the boss. And Krishna as the boss's boyfriend. Sorry about that. I mean, I thought that's a little bit too elevated for me. So, anyway, so that's a very good question, Champaka. And also, some people gave some comments in the chat area right here. Yes, Mahaprabhu rejects hypocrites and offenders. That's true. But those people decide to be hypocrites and offenders. They're responsible. It's not that they're hypocrites and offenders because jivera svarupohoi, nitya hypocrite das, you know, whatever, hypocrite. It's not that they're hypocrites because of nature. And actually, that touches upon one of the aspects of my empathic communication, where people deny responsibility. You know, just like, oh my God, I don't want to give his example again, but I always preface that by giving it. Just like one politician we know about is a liar. So he can say, I'm a liar because my father didn't love me or something like that. But this is simply an excuse. We're responsible for our activities. And we get put in a particular situation because, for non-devotees, because my karma, and because for devotees, it's because Krishna's making the arrangement. Even if it's a difficult situation, Krishna makes the arrangement for us to be put in that situation so we can learn certain things about this world. But anyway, everyone has free will. And if Mahaprabhu rejects hypocrites and offenders, it's because they've decided to be hypocrites and offenders. However, when they decide to change themselves, like we find Gopal Chapala and Gopal Chakravarti, they changed themselves, and then they were forgiven by Mahaprabhu. So that, you know, that's all right. Then Lord Chaitanya forgives them as soon as they decide to change. So therefore, his mercy is always given out, even to hypocrites and offenders, if they decide to make the change. If they don't, then you don't get the mercy. Oh my God, seems like people named Gopal need to change your name. No, there are some good people named Gopal. Can't think of them right now, but there are some good people named Gopal. And like you are. Gopal, you're a good person. You're a very good person because you tolerate my teasing. So that makes you good. So anyway, so let's say we had one devotee who had two questions. Jai Radhika, you have two questions, Gurudev. What are your two questions, Gurudev?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances to your glorious to Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
I have a two questions. One is just rather interesting thought, but my question is, it's again going back to Brahma Jyoti. So all the souls floating in Brahma Jyoti, do they also, I mean, obviously they have the subtle bodies and they want to, when they get bored, they want to...
They don't have subtle bodies. They have no gross or subtle bodies, no.
Okay. So I was thinking maybe when they get bored, they want to lord it over the material nature due to maybe passionate nature or something. When they fall, they come to the material world. So do they, just like the souls who exhausted their piety in heavenly planets and then come down in rain and then become grass and the creepers and then they get eaten by, then they, through semen, okay, they get injected, they take the birth of a human being. But so how does it work for the souls in Brahma Jyoti? Do they also fall down in rain or do they just take a birth as...
They take a birth in this world, and because they're falling down from the Brahma Jyoti, they're naturally attracted to the mode of goodness. And Prabhupada talks about how they open up hospitals, engage in welfare activities.
Yes.
Like that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Now, as far as whether they come down in rain or not, that's not really mentioned.
Right.
But
yeah,
it's not mentioned. But they do come down to the material world. Aruyika chena parampada patanchido yujmad angreha. That's a verse from the Bhagavatam that says they come down. Now, as to whether they get bored or not, it's just that their nature is to be active.
Yes.
I don't know if I would actually use the word bored or restless or something like that. Yeah. But they're not in their constitutional position. It's like trying to fit a square plug in a round hole. It's just not, they don't fit into the Brahma Jyoti. Mm-hmm. They just don't fit. And so something doesn't fit ultimately falls out.
Yes, okay.
And when it falls out, it comes to the material world.
Right.
So exactly, you know, because there's no subtle body in the Brahma Jyoti. They don't have any subtle body. It's just the soul. They don't merge.
Ego? Oh, okay. So right? They don't have, so I'm sorry. So
there's no ego. No false ego. Okay. No, I mean, the ego, there's the ego ascent. There's the self, which means ego.
Yeah.
But there's no subtle body.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
There's no gross body, obviously, yeah. And there's no subtle body. Mm-hmm. It's just the soul floating there in the Brahma Jyoti,
yes,
swimming around, and then decides to come out of the ocean after some time for mm-hmm.
yeah,
dry land.
Yeah. And what decides them to come down, get out of
their
the
nature?
Okay.
Their nature.
Okay. All right.
I mean, ultimately, everything's up to Krishna, but it's their nature to be active.
Yeah, right.
They're in an unnatural situation. Just like if you're in the ocean, that's unnatural for you because you're not a fish.
Yeah, yeah.
So after a while, you come down, come back to land.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, that's just an analogy. It's not exactly all aspects or corresponding aspects, but it gives you an idea.
Right, okay. Thank you, Maharaj. Can I ask another question?
Yeah, one more question.
Okay, so I had this interesting thought from the beginning when we started reading about Chaitanya Charitamrita. So I was thinking, why the need for Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, to take incarnation, or even Avatar, it says it's done. So my thought arises because I was thinking, in nearly every Manvantara, we have seen that Vishnu has incarnated, like in Uttama became what Tamsa in Tamsa Manvantara, Supreme Personality of Godhead came as Hari, and then he was the one who has actually saved Gajendra. And then we've seen, and in another Raivata Manu. So in his race.
He comes in every Manu.
He does, right. And so he does, we have his pastimes, his celebrated pastimes. Hari did the training of the Milkoshan, Ajita, I think. He became tortoised and had the mantra mountain on top. So he's only that, but he doesn't have any relishable pastimes like Krishna does, like childhood pastime.
He doesn't relish. Yeah, no, he has relishable.
I mean, like childhood pastimes is not there. His pastimes are celebrated and enjoyed.
Childhood pastimes. Yeah, some of the incarnations have childhood pastimes. Why not? I mean, not the same sort of intimacy. Right. Like Lord Ram had childhood pastimes.
Yeah, Ram did. Yeah, yeah. All the Leela Avatar and all that. But I was.
Yeah, thinking, so it's not that that's prohibited for Krishna's expansions to have childhood pastimes.
Yeah, Krishna
Lord Ram
did.
Had very, very sweet.
Yes, yes. So Rab, Chandra, Krishna, they did. But for
and
Vishnu.
Lord Vamana had nice pastimes as a child.
Yes, Vamana did as well. And even Matsra pastime and
as far as the other incarnations, it may not be mentioned, but there's no statement that they did not have childhood pastimes.
Right, okay. So I was thinking, why incarnation, except for doing all these pastimes that we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, but then when Krishna has decided to actually save the devotees and inhalate the demons and all, Krishna would have just Vishnu, because Krishna takes the aspects of the Vishnu pasada, achinta, veda, veda, tattva, like how they merge into or just the thing, So Vishnu would have, I was just thinking, Vishnu would have just like incarnated from the Chaturviva or the portions of planet portion or something and then reinstated into Vaikuntha planet. So whenever there's a need for pastime, Krishna would have just swing by, pick Vishnu up from Vaikunthas or like merge into
There's
Vishnu.
Always pastimes. Whenever Vishnu comes down to Parichranaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chadushkritam, it's always a pastime.
Yes, yeah.
Because Krishna doesn't have to do those things. Prabhupada explains that very clearly.
Yeah.
That all these different things, the Parichranaya Sadhanam Vinashaya Chadushkritam, can be done by Krishna's energies.
Yes.
So it's always pastimes. Like Krishna loves to lift up the earth and fight with fight with Hiranyaksha. Krishna likes to kill Hiranyakashipu.
Yeah, yes.
Everything Krishna does, it's a pastime. He wouldn't do it if it wasn't a pastime.
Yes, yes.
Although it may not be strictly speaking a Leela avatar, but everything that God does is Leela, because he doesn't have to do anything.
So I was thinking, whenever Krishna felt like Vishnu would have just come from Vaikuntha, like he doesn't really have to incarnate or, take it.
No, he doesn't have to, but he likes to. He wants to.
Yeah, because he has a parent, like in Raivata Manvantara, he has a parent's, Tamsas, I think he had Harini and Harimeda and like that.
Yeah,
so he has a parent, right?
He has parents. He just chooses different ways. And sometimes he just appears out of Lord Brahma's nose.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah.
He can do anything he wants, any way he wants.
Oh, I guess so. Yeah. Anyhow.
All right.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Kumar.
Okay. I think Rajalila has a question.
Hare Krishna Gurudev, please accept my obeisances.
Send my blessings. What's up?
So I'm having this question come up in my head when we were talking about the really like exalted devotees that live in like Bhajan Kutirs and are very renounced. And I know that they're really great devotees already before they take these positions of like ascetics kind of, or just, you know, the very austere lifestyles that they take. They're already like really great devotees and are pretty, I'm sure they're immersed in Krishna's pastimes already. Yeah. And so it got me thinking, is renunciation like a tool to help us become more Krishna conscious, or is it just a result of Krishna consciousness as we
It's a result of devotion.
So it doesn't help us become more Krishna conscious when we...
Well, renouncing certain things like meat, fish, and eggs, and intoxication, and all nice things like that can help us. You know, if we renounce things that are in the mode of ignorance and passion, yes, that can help us. But ultimately, that renunciation is not a stable renunciation until we actually have a higher taste.
And say like we don't have something, we're in Krishna consciousness. I had this like example before. I don't know if I fully have it right now, but when you're in Krishna consciousness and you want something, but you're trying to become more detached, and so you say to yourself, no, I don't need it. Is that like false renunciation?
It may be in certain circumstances. It may be, depending on the circumstance. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to ascertain what is the need behind what we want rather than the strategy. And I think you're familiar with this terminology. Rather than the strategy, what is the need behind our desire? And then once we ascertain the need, we can understand whether we should go for it. Okay?
Thank you.
Don't worry. Okay, time to end. Thank you all very much. Thank you for this virtual feast. And I don't know if people are watching in the temple. I guess Aditya Narayan Prabhu is probably not watching tonight. So he is our great hero who distributed so many books. Great, great, good devotee. We're very fortunate to have this devotee. Okay, see everybody tomorrow. Same time, same station. All glories to his divine grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki.